Welcome to the 13th Skull. The journey into a world that is just beyond our comprehension. The world of the paranormal.
Welcome everybody to the 13 Skulls podcast. In this episode, we're going to be taking a look at some listener emails. We're going to be taking a look at the Erath County Stephenville UFO. We're also going to be taking a look at a couple of videos that I've found, and quite a bit more than that. So stay tuned and we'll be right back. All right, everybody, thanks for joining me today. This is episode number 11 of the 13 Skulls podcast. First things first, let's get some of the formality stuff out of the way. The first thing I wanted to say is sorry that it's taken me so long to get this episode out, but I had a bunch of different things. I've changed over the website, if you can't tell. I've also, I was a little bit sick for a little while. Just had a bunch of different issues, but the first thing that I wanted to really talk about is the fact that the website has changed. The website changed dramatically. It's completely different than what it was at any other point in time. I personally like it a little bit better, but, you know, I mean, things change for the better, for the worse. You know, I like it. Let me know what you think about it. But just to get a kind of just a few of the little things on the webpage out of the way, so you guys know what you're doing whenever you get there. When you first open up the page, you'll notice a media player. Just it'll have a little green box. It'll say podcast player. It'll have like a Nine Inch Nails song listed. Just click on it, and a little player will pop up in another window, and it'll give you the track listings, information about the tracks. It'll play, you know, just you know, so you can listen to it. But also, every time that I make a post that has a show to it or any type of audio to it, there's going to be a little play button and a little stop button right below where I write the intro for the show, and just above where the links and everything are. And you can just hit the little play button and it'll start to play the show. Hit the stop button, it'll stop it. There's a link there to download the show. It'll tell you the duration of the show. Then you got all the links and music links and all that stuff. There's also, you can dig it. You can, you can go to Technorati. You can do all this stuff. You can add it to it. And, you know, just go there and check it out. You'll see you can subscribe through iTunes now. It's going to be a different feed. So if you subscribe through iTunes and you want to, you know, change it over, please do. I'd greatly appreciate it, because the Podomatic site that I use, I don't necessarily know if I'm going to keep that around for a whole lot longer. I think I will keep it around for a while, but I don't think I'm going to keep it around to where it'll have as much bandwidth as it does now. So anyway, you can go scroll down the page. You'll see info for the show as far as the email and everything, which the email is the13skulls@gmail.com. The feedback at the13skulls.com, I'm not going to keep that one anymore. It's already null and void. It's not there anymore. So just if you're going to email me, use the13skulls@gmail.com. And you can also call the show. It's 206-338-2205. Leave any comments, feedbacks, whatever you want to, you know, tell me. as far as the show is concerned. And then right below the show info, you'll see where it says Syndicate. You can, you know, subscribe to a bunch of different Atom feeds, RSS feeds. Right below that, you'll see where you can subscribe through FeedBurner, which is another way to subscribe through iTunes. You can also go to iTunes and check for the 13 Skulls. You'll probably find two of them. Anyway, you can subscribe through FeedBurner. Again, it's going to be a different feed, so go with that. But the original feeds are still there, and they'll still work. You'll also see where it says search the 13 Skulls if you want to look for a particular episode or particular song or, you know, article or something like that. Just type it in and it'll bring it up to, you know, it'll search the site for, you know, through all the shows and bring those up. You'll see a monthly archive, category archives, recent entries. You'll be able to subscribe through FeedBlitz again. It's a new newsletter through FeedBlitz. If you want to subscribe that way, you'll be able to get all the postings in an email. You'll also be able to get emails from FeedBurner. If you go right below that, you'll see where you can subscribe to. Basically, it's a newsletter from FeedBurner for this show. Anytime I make a posting, it's going to send it to you in an email form. Right below that, you can use GoDaddy's emails. Anytime I make a post, it'll send it to you in an email that way. You'll also see a couple of different things, one for patio books and one for peer review videos, just little widgets on the side you can see there. And that's pretty much it. So the site has changed quite dramatically. If you've got any feedback on it, let me know. The outside of that, the Podomatic site will probably end up staying there for quite a while. So it's I doubt that it's going to go anywhere so much as I might just downgrade the service that I have with them. So you know, you might not be able to get the show that way, you know, through Podomatic for very long after each show is put out, just because the bandwidth's going to be used up, and they usually end up locking it up once the bandwidth's gone over for, you know, 7 days or more. But anyway, that's the new site, so let me know what you think about that. The first thing that I wanted to talk about here that is in relation to the show is listener emails, so we're going to go ahead and get into that. The first email is from Joyce. She said, "I just came across your podcast. Thank you so much for offering great paranormal conversation without all the incessant chittering I hear in other shows. My first listen was on January 6th of 2008, and I was surprised that you opened with your explanation regarding what I am assuming has been some criticism of your program. Do not devote 1 minute of your show explaining yourself. Your show is good the way it is, and as you carefully and diplomatically put it, yours. To give it any on-air time lends precedence to people who should just find another podcast. Now it sounds like I'm trying to tell you how to do your show. Not my intention. Can't wait to hear your next program. Sincerely, Joyce." Well, Joyce, thank you so much for writing in. And I in no way think that you're trying to tell me how to do my show, but it is good good feedback to know. And I apologize if anybody out there you know, didn't like me explaining myself, but I thought I had to. Just to get it out of the way. And you're right, Joyce, I won't be devoting any more time to any negative feedback, even though I do want to hear it. I'm not going to put it in the show. If you do have something that is negative that you want to send to me, go ahead. I'll read it. I'll take it into consideration. And you know, I like to hear what you have to say as far as the listener is concerned, whether it's good or bad. So thanks for listening, Joyce. I really appreciate the support and the feedback. It really is greatly appreciated. So thanks for sending that in. You know, I really do appreciate it. The next email that I wanted to talk about was from Molly again. She said, "I'm just barely listening to your latest podcast, and your podcast is great the way it is. I like your attitude about the whole thing. If you don't like it, don't listen. Much respect." Thanks, Molly. I really appreciate you sending feedback. I like to hear from you. You have a great attitude too. By the way, if anyone has noticed the blue art the blue alien art that I have for the show today, that is courtesy of Molly, who herself drew that from her own hands, which I personally thought was great. That's why I wanted to use it. So wanted to give Molly a lot of props and a lot of thanks for sending that to me, and to you know, to say thank you for letting me use it. You know, I appreciate it. And Molly, if there's any, you know, if people like it and I get some feedback from it, I'll let you know. But again, the artwork for this show is courtesy of Molly. So thanks again, Molly. I really do appreciate you sending that in, and always like to hear from you. So keep on sending the emails, and if you got any more artwork you want me to use, just let me know. I'd love to use it because, you know, I like to support people, you know, every average day person, you know, I like to support them. So anyway, thanks again, Molly. I really do appreciate it. All right, well, the next email that I wanted to look at was from Iceberg Slick in Vegas. It says, I love the show when you get a chance to check out a movie called The Deaths of Ian Stone. Although the plot seems to have been rushed, this film has an interesting take on the Shadow People, even though they don't openly say it in the movie. Thanks, Iceberg Slick from Vegas. I appreciate it. I'm going to have to check out that movie because it sounds really interesting. Iceberg Slick is actually, if you do get a chance, man, if you're listening right now, send me some music, man. I'd like to throw it into the show. But I definitely will have to check out that movie for sure. I really like looking at watching movies that you know, that you never really see in the theater, that you haven't really heard of. Now, maybe it did make it to the theater. I don't know. I personally can't remember having ever really heard of it. You know, it's not necessarily something that sounds familiar to me, that movie, but I'm gonna have to check it out. So thanks, Iceberg. I appreciate it, man. I'll be checking that out soon.
Hey, this is the Paranormal Cafe out of Westchester, Pennsylvania. You can listen to us at paranormalcafe.podomatic.com, and you are listening to the 13 Skulls podcast at the13skulls.com.
Airy Radio, opening the door to the unknown. Download episodes of Airy Radio directly from iTunes or visit their website at www.airyradio.com.
All right, well, the last email that I wanted to check out is from Neil, and Neil wrote quite a long email, so bear with me. Says, TJ, first things first, just wanted to say that I truly enjoy your show, even more than the Black Vault podcast. Guests can sometimes lose my interest with a quickness. Seems that your take on almost every issue is fair and well-balanced, and you never jump to conclusions. Thanks for the hours of enjoyment and quick links to everything you discuss in your show. I'm currently in the Army stationed at Fort Bliss, Texas. I am part of the Terminal High Altitude Area Defense Project, or THAAD, a new missile defense system co-developed by the Lockheed and Raytheon Corporation. This system is not yet activated, and flight tests are taking place at the Pacific Missile Range Facility in Kekaha, Kauai. I work with several senior contractors who I've become very close with. In fact, one of them told me that he formerly worked at Area 51 many years ago. He has told me some small things about the work he has done and how it has performed in the past. Of course, he knows that I know that he has sworn to secrecy, that I enjoy questioning him on some things, and he just laughs at most of my comments and questions. He has told me that if you could have seen some of the things I have seen, it would have blown your mind. He also told me that a lot of the work went on there has been moved to another undisclosed location. Well, the main reason I wanted to contact you is due to the fact that since I've been part of this project, I've seen a lot of odd colored lights and objects that have for some reason like to hang out around our system when it is active. It started about 2 years ago when I first got into the assignment. We were performing tests at the White Sands, New Mexico, me and several other civilian and military, me and several others, both civilian and military, would see objects and lights that we couldn't explain, including unknown objects tracked when all surrounding airspace was restricted, usually during critical times of our tests. Well, we relocated the system to Hawaii, and these occurrences keep continuing. Don't have any pictures due to the fact that I am not allowed cameras or cell phones in my closed environment. Thanks, from Neil. Neil, dude, really, I really do appreciate that feedback from you. Seems as if you got a really interesting job. The Terminal High Altitude Area Defense Project, a new missile defense system, sounds pretty damn interesting. I'd like to know a little bit more about that, but you're a lucky guy. There's not too many people that know somebody that's actually worked at Area 51 that can you can ask questions to. I mean, I'd love to be able to question somebody that has worked at Area 51. That'd just be any information at all, that'd just be priceless. Just to know that they've actually been there, because I'd love to visit Area 51, but, you know, obviously that's not going to happen. But I think it's interesting to know that that there's people out there that, you know, that know somebody that has worked at Area 51 that can give you any information at all. Even just small things would be interesting, you know, to me. Any little information would be great, you know, because it's the individual experience, you know, that the person has that they can, you know, tell you. Just it would be really interesting. And he also mentioned that you've seen a bunch of different colored lights and objects. That sounds like some of the stuff that I've seen around here, just different colored lights, some strange objects that have been flying around. But one thing that's really kind of, that's bringing up some questions in my mind is that I'm right here in Fort Worth. And, you know, I can't remember... there's an airbase not too far from here that I'm not sure what they're doing with, but for some reason, and it's been more and more frequent recently, but me and my girlfriend here, we've been seeing a lot of the military helicopters that have been been flying over our house a lot lately. They are the Chinook helicopters, the big two-bladed, two-propped helicopters. They're huge, but for some reason they've been flying around a lot lately. They'll fly over our house, they'll be gone for 15 minutes, and then they'll come back. They'll be gone for an hour, they'll fly over, they'll come back. The other night we actually saw two of them fly by at the same time within 50 feet of each other. And you know, they're loud. They're the two propped, giant, long, looks like a bus flying through the air. They're huge, but I've seen a lot of those around too. And it makes me wonder, you know, what they're doing, just for the simple fact that there's really nowhere for them to go. The way they're flying is like they're flying from downtown Fort Worth to downtown Dallas. And it doesn't really make any sense why they're around. I can't really figure out why they would be. I mean, what would be the point? There's nowhere for them to really go. It's almost like they're flying to Dallas, turning around and coming back. I mean, it could just be that they're doing daily, you know, maintenance on it to make sure that everything's flying right, you know, make sure that it's operating correctly. But at the same time, I can't really understand why they would, you know, why they would be flying over so much. But, you know, I mean, that kind of leads me into the whole Stephenville mile-wide UFO thing that has come around. But thanks again, Neil. I really appreciate you sending that through, letting me know. You know, any more information you can send me, you know, let me know. Especially with the guy that worked at Area 51. You know, any experiences or anything you find interesting that you think I might, you know, that I myself or any of the other listeners might enjoy. You know, hop on the phone and give me a call. The phone number is 206-338-2205, and leave me a voicemail. You know, leave me a comment. Tell me anything you want, and that goes for everybody else too. So, you know, let me know what you think. But anyway, we'll get into the Stephenville mile-wide UFO thing here in a few minutes. There's a couple of smaller things that I wanted to talk about first. And the first one is courtesy of CNN.com. It's basically has to do with the man on Mars, the thing that's come around recently that I personally can't really explain too well. But anyway, again, it's courtesy of CNN.com, and it's a video. And basically this video, I don't know if anybody has heard about the picture that NASA took of Mars a while back. Somebody studied it, and they found what appears to be a Bigfoot-like creature walking on Mars. It actually looks like it has an arm, a head, a torso. I mean, it's interesting to say the least. But obviously I don't think it's real, because the scale that I've seen on other videos, the scale of it, really, it's not very big. It's fairly small because it's not too far away from the camera. But at the same time, you never know. I mean, it really does look like a Bigfoot walking around the surface of Mars. But then again, who's to say that it's even on the surface of Mars, because we all know about the whole moon landing thing possibly being fake. But anyway, go take a look at the video, and there's actually some commentary between, you know, a couple of different people. Anyway, you go take a look at the video, and if you got any comments or ideas on the man on Mars, which possibly could be Bigfoot, let me know. And, you know, personally, I don't even know really what to think about it. I mean, the atmosphere is completely different than what we know here. So if it's possible for something to breathe that atmosphere as we do here on Earth, there's something on there that can breathe that atmosphere. Could it possibly have gotten as big as what it is now, if it is even alive? I mean, it looks like something that would be walking at a fairly brisk pace with its arms, you know, going back and forth at its side. But then again, I haven't seen a second picture that's been taken. You know, I haven't seen anything like that to show whether or not this object, this creature or this rock or whatever it is, I haven't seen another picture to compare to that to see if it's moved at all. Because if you take one picture, you know, or take two pictures, you know, a minute apart, and the object is exactly in the same position as it was in the first picture as it is in the second picture, then obviously it's not a you know, a living being, a living creature of any kind. But anyway, yeah, you guys go take a look at the video. I'll provide a link to it in the show notes, courtesy of CNN.com. You guys can you know, go take a look at it and let me know what you think. All right, the next thing that I wanted to talk about is courtesy of board-board.com. And it's the top 10 craziest science stuff you didn't know. And it says, the first one is, it says you can hypnotize chickens. A chicken can be hypnotized or put into a trance by holding its head down to the ground and continuously drawing a line along the ground with a stick or finger, starting at its beak and extending straight outwards in front of the chicken. If the chicken is hypnotized in this manner, it will remain immobile from somewhere between 15 seconds to 30 minutes, continuing to stare at the line. crazy. I wonder who would have taken enough time out of their day to figure out that you can hypnotize a chicken by drawing a line in front of it. It's just unbelievably weird. But anyway, all right, well, the next one, you might want to use a little listener discretion here if there's anybody who has, you know, virgin ears. You can have an erection once you're dead. A death erection, sometimes referred to as angel lust, is a post-mortem erection which occurs when a male individual dies vertically or face down, the cadaver remaining in this position. During life, the pumping of blood by the heart ensures a relatively even distribution around the blood vessels of the human body. Once this mechanism has ended, only the force of gravity acts upon the blood. As with any mass, the blood settles at the lowest point of the body and causes edema or swelling to occur. The discoloration caused by this is called lividity. Sorry, there's no photo for this one for anybody who wanted to take a look at it. Your hand can have a life of its own. Alien hand syndrome, or Dr. Strangelove syndrome, is an unusual neurological disorder in which one of the sufferer's hands seems to take on a life of its own. AHS, alien hand syndrome, is best documented in cases where a person has had two hemispheres of their brain surgically separated, a procedure sometimes used to relieve the symptoms of extreme cases of epilepsy. It also occurs in some cases after other brain surgery, strokes, or infections. It says, don't laugh too much. It can kill you. Fatal hilarity is death as a result of laughter. In the 3rd century BC, the Greek philosopher Chrysippus died of laughter after seeing a donkey eating figs. I don't know what would be so funny about that. On March 24th, 1975, Alex Mitchell, 50-year-old bricklayer from King's Lynn, England, literally died laughing while watching an episode of The Goodies. No idea what that show is. According to his wife, who is a witness, Mitchell was unable to stop laughing while watching a sketch in the episode Kung Fu Capers, in which Tim Brooke Taylor, dressed as a kilted Scotsman, used a set of bagpipes to defend himself from a psychopathic black pudding in a demonstration of the Scottish martial arts of Hoots Toot Ukiah. I have no idea how to say that. It says, after 25 minutes of continuous laughter, Mitchell finally slumped on the sofa and expired from heart failure. His widow later sent the goodies a letter thanking them for making Mitchell's final moments so pleasant. Weird, dude. That's just funny that you could die from. But, I mean, if you really think about it, if you get into a hysterical laughing fit from something, I know I have, sometimes it can be hard to stop laughing. You know, it's kind of hard. Sometimes, you know, it can be difficult to stop. So I can see how that would work. All right, the next one is, a weapon could make you gay. Gay bomb is an informal name for a potential non-lethal chemical weapon which a U.S. Air Force research laboratory speculated about producing. In one sentence of the document, it was suggested that a strong aphrodisiac could be dropped on enemy troops, ideally one which would also cause homosexual behavior. That's just weird if they could even make something like that. But, I mean, how would homosexual behavior keep enemy troops from fighting? I don't really get that. The article says, so that's how they got Saddam. I'm not even going to go there. Anyway, we'll move on. It says, it's true, men can breastfeed. The phenomenon of male lactation in humans has become more common in recent years due to the use of medications that stimulate a human male's mammary glands. Male lactation is most commonly caused by hormonal treatments given to men suffering from prostate cancer. It is also possible for males and females to induce lactation through constant massaging and stimulated sucking of the nipple over a long period of time. That's just another crazy thing. It also says Bart Simpson's Tamako, which is half tomato, half tobacco, was possible. A Tamako is originally a fictional hybrid fruit that is half tomato and half tobacco from the 1999 episode Annoyed Grunt of the Simpsons, E-I-E-I of the Simpsons. Anyway, the method used to create the Tamako in the episode is fictional. The Tamako became real when it was allegedly produced in 2003, inspired by the Simpsons. Rob Bauer of Lake Oswego in Oregon successfully grafted a tomato plant onto the roots of a tobacco plant, which was possible because both plants came from the same family. That's just strange that why would you want to have a tomato mixed with tobacco? I mean, I guess if you're a smoker, you're trying to quit, you don't want to get rid of it, and you know, you don't want to get rid of the nicotine, but yet you love tomatoes. Your guess is as good as mine. Sorry, hit the mic there. Your guess is as good as mine. I don't know. A supernumerary nipple, also known as a third nipple, is an additional nipple occurring in mammals, including humans, often mistaken for moles. They're diagnosed at a rate of 2% in females, and even less in males. The nipples appear along the two vertical milk lines, which start at the armpit on each side, run down through the typical nipples, and end at the groin. They are classified in 8 levels of completeness, from a simple patch of hair to a milk-bearing breast in miniature. Man, this is some just strange stuff. Anyway, and I actually knew a guy who had third nipple at one point in time, but I, you know, it's been so long ago I can't even remember who he was, but I remember I knew somebody who had a third nipple. It's really weird looking. And it was kind of on his ribs over to the side. But anyway, we'll just drop that. It says here that you can die on the toilet. There are many toilet-related injuries and some toilet-related deaths throughout history and in urban legends. In young boys, one of the most common causes of genital injury is when the toilet seat falls down while using the toilet. George II of Great Britain died on the toilet on October 25th, 1760, from an aortic dissection. According to Horace Walpole's memoirs, King George rose as usual at 6 and drank his chocolate, for all his actions were invariably methodic. A quarter after 7, he went into a little closet, his German valet de chamber, I guess his toilet. In waiting, he heard a noise and, running in, found the king dead on the floor. That's an aortic dissection. I would think that might come from stress, but anyway, I don't know. It also says here, picking one's nose and eating it might be healthy. Yuck. Mucophagy, literally mucus eating, also referred as picking one's nose and eating it, is the consumption of the nasal mucus, boogers, and other detritus obtained from picking the nose. Some research suggests that mucophagy may be a natural and even healthy activity which exposes the digestive system to bacteria accumulated in the mucus, thereby helping to strengthen the immune system. I have absolutely no idea why you would, I mean, come on. Eat some healthy food, eat some supplements of some kind, and, you know, and just take better care of yourself. Don't eat your boogers. I mean, come on, y'all. That's just gross. I mean, I knew a girl back in school that used to do that, and I saw her do it once, and I swear to God, if I ever see anybody do it again, I just want to smack them. That's just disgusting. Come on, y'all. That's just gross. But anyway, I'll put a link up to that in the show notes, and you guys can go take a look at the top 10 craziest science stuff you hadn't heard about, which I had heard about some of it, and I'm sure some of you had too. But anyway, go take a look and do some reading about why your boogers are good for you.
Maybe a few pieces.
All right. Well, now that we're going to get into the main part of the show, the Stephenville UFO. I don't know if anybody out here knows what has happened here over the past few weeks, but somebody has seen a mile wide UFO, and someone else has seen some lights in the sky that looked very, very strange. Even though the video isn't that great and it's kind of hard to tell what's going on with it, you guys should go take a look. We have a whole bunch of different stuff here. What I'm going to play for you now, real quick, is an interview, just briefly, it's not too long, of an eyewitness to the Stephenville UFO. So you guys take a listen to this, and you'll get an idea as to what some of these people were seeing.
This is Sterling Robertson with Neighbors Go, reporting from Jake and Dorothy's Cafe, talking to James Hughes, that's H-U-S-E. And James Hughes was an eyewitness of the unidentified flying objects over Stephenville. Tell me what you saw.
Well, I saw two very large, red, glowing, I call them orbs or crafts, that moved across the sky just north of Stephenville at a very low altitude, very slowly, and they made absolutely no sound whatsoever. And these things were very low, and they probably were 1,500 to 2,000 feet away at the time when I saw them. And I could hear no sound whatsoever. They were quite large. I could hold my hand up and couldn't cover them with my thumb. They were that large. There were two of them. They seemed to be flying in formation. And they gradually moved across and across the Bosque River and out of my sight. And I turned around, went back in the house. And I didn't know what they were. The only thing I could think of was there's a UFO. There was just really no other explanation for anything that looked like that. They were so large and they weren't attached. These, they were kind of like lights, except they were larger. Everything, they were glowing ships, I would call them. The lights themselves were objects that were moving through the air, glowing. And I don't have an explanation for them. I would like to know what on earth these things were that moved over Stephenville, Texas, Tuesday night around just after dark.
Okay, well, that was the James Hughes interview. First things first, did they really need to play the X-Files theme music in the background? I hate it when they do that. I mean, it just makes it seem so cheesy, but then again, maybe they thought it would make them look better. The guy said that they had glowing individual, like they were glowing individual objects, like each one was separate, you know, from each other. But basically what I heard in one of the other interviews is that that it did have odd, strange colored lights, but they were all this, you know, they were basically attached to one object. Anyway, there's a bunch of different stuff in here for you guys to take a listen to. But before we get to that, we're going to take a little break here. We'll be back in just a moment.
Hey, 13 Skulls listeners. This is Jay, also known as Solely Jay. I'm sure you're all interested in all unknown subjects, so if you have a few minutes, please feel free to visit my podcast at solelyjay.podomatic.com. Now back to the show with your host, TJ.
All right, well, the next thing that I wanted to take a look at real quick before we really get into a lot of the Stephenville UFO stuff is some other sightings from Texas over the years. It says, at 4 p.m. on our ranch at 6 miles east of Hico, Texas, on Highway 6, my husband, son, grandson, and I spotted a UFO in the northeast sky. It was a very clear, cool morning, and we were on the porch having coffee waiting for the sun to rise when we observed what we thought was a very bright star, a little larger than the North Star. Suddenly, it dropped straight down about a half inch, and we thought we were witnessing a plane falling. For over about an hour, we witnessed the object with binoculars moving at extreme angles, left, right, up, down, always returning to its original position. At times, it was a solid red light. It appeared to be huge, located very high in the universe, moving at extreme speeds. That's interesting. It says that she took several pictures with her night lens digital camera, but for some reason, didn't capture the UFO. I would love to see the pictures if they did come out. I love UFO pictures. They're just tremendous. Another sighting was from McKinney, Texas on December 13th of 2007. It says, we live in McKinney, Texas on December 13th. We were driving on Stonebridge Drive in McKinney to a Christmas party, and my husband and I observed a large green flash in the sky. We both said, did you see that? My husband said it must have been a falling star or meteorite. I said it was green. Are they green? It was very large and did not and not too high in the sky. It was very strange. I've seen falling stars before, but not that color, size, or closest to the Earth. That was Lisa from McKinney, Texas, which that was her observation, which really wasn't all that long ago. The next one was from Comanche, Texas on January 8th of 2008, which was just recently. It says, my husband and I were driving from Comanche, Texas to Brownwood, Texas, south on Highway 377 on January 8th when I saw a bright red light out of the corner of my eye up in the sky. I told my husband to take a look and ask him what he thought it was. I thought it was one of those towers that have the three blinking red lights. I also asked my husband what he thought it was. It then turned bright white. My husband commented that it could be a satellite, but then it faded out and appeared again just to the right of where it had originally been. That almost reminds me of the lights that I've seen that move. Then all of a sudden, there were two of them. Then, before we knew it, they jetted off over the sky extremely fast. It says they just laughed it off because we felt crazy for even thinking that it could be a UFO. Then we saw it on the news the other night, and they said they couldn't believe that other people had seen it too. It says that Stephenville is getting all the attention, but I believe it was right over Comanche. No, it was directly over Comanche because I remember I was looking straight up in my straight out of my windshield to see it. I feel crazy for even reporting this, but I had to tell somebody. You know, that's the thing. People seem like they said, they just laughed it off because they thought they would be crazy for having seen something like that. And they only get confirmation whenever they see it on the news. I don't like that. I think it's, you got to believe what you experience or other people will make you feel crazy. If you don't act like you believe yourself, then nobody else is. So anyway, the next one was from Denton, Texas, which is due north of me, on January 11th of 2008. It says, my son saw this one on his way to work. He drives from Denton on the back roads, and approximately 6:50 a.m., he turns east on 455 from Running Bear Road. He saw bright white lights coming over the hill. It was on the opposite side of the dam, which I'm not sure what dam that is. His first thought was aircraft. He had been in the Navy in the past, and he was familiar with aircraft. He started looking at the red and green lights. He not only did he not see them, but it was flying very slow, approximately 30 miles an hour, 30 to 50 yards away. That's really slow and really close. That's, you know, a half to less than half of a football field. It seemed to be hugging the shoreline, flying at eye level. He slowed down, opened the car window, observed the craft as it went past. It made no sound at all, black and gray in color, delta shape, which I'm not positive what that means. I guess a shape of a D, I don't know. No bigger than his 1978 Thunderbird, rectangular rear with three large round openings in the side. No apparent thrust, no fire, no nothing like that. In the top of the craft, it looked as if it had an extended canopy, running about three quarters of the way down the fuselage. It was metallic as well. The bottom looked as if it had panel lines. As I said, it had three white lights under it, not blinking. He stopped by the house for the refill of his coffee and told his wife about it. Drew a picture of the craft and wrote down all the details, and then he went to work. After telling his co-workers at the shop his story, the guy told him that he had seen it as well, but thinking people would think he was nuts, he didn't say anything, of course. He also said that a friend of his had seen it in Sanger, which is the town on the other side of the dam. I'm not sure what dam that is. I'm going to have to look more into that. But anyway, those are just some other Texas sightings of UFOs over the past couple weeks. So if you guys wanted to read a little bit more about them, go right ahead. There's a whole bunch of stuff here, you guys. I also wanted to take a look of another article. It's courtesy of UFODigest.com. And it's about the Phoenix Lights, because there's a lot of stuff. Sorry about that. There's a lot of stuff that is similar to the Phoenix Lights as there is to this Stephenville UFO, this Erath County UFO that people have seen. Actually, you know what? I'm going to wait off on that one. The next article that I wanted to take a look at is actually courtesy of CBS11TV.com. And it's the man who claimed to have shot a UFO on video that looks like a kind of like, you know, it's kind of hard to tell what it really is. Almost looks like a neon light moving around in weird squiggly ways. I don't know. It's kind of hard to tell. There's a bunch of other good videos here too, but they're news segments. The article, again, it's courtesy of CBS11TV.com. The military now says it was training over Stephenville the night dozens of people reported seeing UFOs, but a video surfaced yesterday of the so-called sighting. The man who captured the alleged UFO did not want to be identified, so he handed the video over to Steve Allen, a private pilot. In response to the military's explanation of the UFO sightings, Allen said it is terrible they can't keep track of 10 F-16s better than that. I can tell you where my dog is at the moment. In the video, the UFO constantly changes shape. It probably has the ability to do what it pleases, Allen said. The Mutual UFO Network and MUFON looked at the pictures of the video and said there was nothing remarkable about them. They are investigating it, but they obviously don't think there's anything special about it, because, to be honest with you, there are ways that you could fake a video like this, because there's nothing to really give you any detail as far as where it's at in the sky or, you know, what it is, really. I mean, obviously, a lot of UFO sightings, you can't tell what it is, but at least to have some reference as to where it is in the sky, or is it above his house? Is it on the horizon? Where is it? What's he looking at? Where's his reference of the video? But anyway, you guys should go take a look at it. They're, you know, they basically, you know, Ken Cherry from MUFON said that they, you know, they're going to be investigating it. The man said that it changed shapes and that it wasn't friendly. I'd like to know, if it's not friendly, what's it doing that's bad? I mean, it had to do something bad for it to not be friendly, right? I mean, at least in my opinion. And what are 10 F-16s doing running around at the same time together? I've never seen that except for at some kind of an air show or something. The military saying that it's training there now. I love how the military comes up with these explanations well after the fact that, you know, it's hit the news that, you know, something weird was seen. But I thought it was interesting that the man who shot the video did not want to be identified. In ways, I can see why you wouldn't want to be identified, but in a ways, I would think you would want to be identified. I mean, people are going to think you're crazy anyway. I mean, so what does it matter if you make it known to yourself or to, you know, make it known to them or not who you are? But anyway, guys, go take a look at the video. That's the ERAF video that the man claims to have had video of alleged UFO. All right, there's just too much here for me to really even go through a whole lot more. There's a ton of news videos in here for you guys to go take a look at. Some of them courtesy of WFAA.com, some of them courtesy of CBS11.com. There's a whole bunch of different stuff, a whole bunch of different articles, a whole bunch of different, you name it. I'm going to post a bunch of those videos up on the website, so you guys, you know, go take a look at it and, you know, give me any feedback or comments, ideas, you know, whatever about any of the articles or videos that you're going to see. But just to kind of cap it off a little bit, courtesy of WFAA.com, I just wanted to read this article about the Stephenville UFO. It says, the U.S. military has owned up to having F-16 fighter jets in the air near Stephenville on the night that several residents reported unusual lights in the sky. But the correction issued Wednesday doesn't exactly turn UFOs into unidentified flying objects. Several dozen witnesses reported what they had seen, that they had seen unusual lights in the sky near Stephenville shortly after dusk on January 8th. One sighting included a report that lights were being pursued by military jets. Military officials had repeatedly denied that they had any flights in the area that night. But the position changed Wednesday with a terse news release. This news release stated, in the interest of public awareness, Air Force Reserve Command Public Affairs realized an error was made regarding the reported training activity of military aircraft. 10 F-16s from the 457th Fighter Squadron were performing training operations from 6 to 8 p.m. Tuesday, January 8, 2008, in the Brownwood Military Operating Area, which includes the airspace above Erath County. Major Carl Lewis, a spokesman for the 301st Fighter Wing at the former Carswell Field, Carswell—that's the one I think, which is close to me here in Fort Worth. Anyway, Major Carl Lewis, a spokesman for the 301st Fighter Wing at the former Carswell Field, blamed the erroneous release on an internal communications error that still left unanswered the question of what F-16s might have been doing that would look like a line of silent, growing spheres. Major Lewis said that he could not give any details. Now, could he not give any details because he didn't know any details, or could he not give any details because he's not allowed to? I mean, I would think with the military that he's not allowed to, but maybe he's not given any details because there are no details to be given. I don't know. What we do down there falls under operational procedures that cannot be released because of operation security for our mission. One battle tactic used routinely by F-16s involves the ejection of flares that are intended to confuse heat-seeking missiles. The flares can be ejected several at a time and could form a pattern of bright lights traveling across the sky. But such activity would not match other aspects of the descriptions of the Stephenville lights. Witnesses generally described what they saw as silent, apparently changing speeds and passing over populated areas. That does not sound like a flare release, said Jay Miller, an aviation consultant and historian in Fort Worth. For one thing, any jet that dumps flares would also be trying to get away as fast as possible. He's going to be in full afterburner, Miller said, and that's very loud. But the jets wouldn't be the only noise associated with the flares. Flares don't burn silently. They actually burn quite loudly. Flares are also extremely hot and dangerous, and it's highly unlikely that any drill would have involved their use over populated areas. Anyway, there's more to this article than just that. It sounds to me like they're trying to say that it's the same thing as the Phoenix lights as far as, you know, them dropping flares and things like that. I really wish there was better video. Really, the only video that I can find is of witness recounts of it. There's no real video of the Stephenville UFO. The only video that I can find is of that one that was of the strange light, but then again, maybe that was part of it. I don't know, but anyway, it's just hard to find. I can't really see anything out there that is of a trustworthy source as far as this UFO video goes. But anyway, you guys go check out the article, check out the videos, and if you got any information on it, any ideas, feedback, comments, whatever, shoot me an email at the13skulls@gmail.com, or shoot me a phone call. It's 206-338-2205.
Something new from audiobooks.com.
The past never dies. It only sleeps. In a solitary station on the fringe of known space, the past is beginning to stir. And when it wakes, Crescent Station will be as the belly of the beast.
You call your father and you tell him there's something very wrong with this ship. Panic spoke up full now and it said, "Scream for your life, bitch!" So Marissa screamed, "We can't save her! Move on! We have to leave!"
Crescent, a podcast novel by Phil Rossi. For more information, please visit www.crescentstation.net.
Some places are far darker than deep space.
Crescent is waking, my boy. Pray, sleep with the light on and one eye open. At least, until you get used to its creaks and groans.
www.crescentstation.net.
Get this book and more free titles from audiobooks.com.
All right, well, as you probably just heard, there's a website out there called podiobooks.com, 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 podiobooks. And let me tell you what, great site, absolutely love it. But there's a book called Crescent, C-R-E-S-C-E-N-T, Crescent. Now, I tell you what, you guys have got to go listen to it. Now, Podio Books, whenever you can sign up to each book as a feed. Basically, if the book's not complete on their site, then you can subscribe to it just like you're subscribed to this podcast. And every time a new chapter of the book comes out, it'll send it to you so you can listen to it just like a podcast. There's some books out there that this Crescent is complete, so all the chapters are there. So you can go and you can download. You do have to download them by chapter. But that's just because it's released as a podcast for each chapter. You guys have got to go check out this book. I highly, highly, highly recommend it. I downloaded it and I cannot quit listening to it. I can't put it down. It has paranormal stuff, corruption, outer space. It's based in outer space. It's based on this military civilian type outpost called Crescent, and you guys really have to go check it out. It's tremendous. It's great. I absolutely love it. It's got a shadow person kind of paranormal, creepy, haunted aspect to it. It's got a lot of good sound effects. The guy who reads it is just he really gets into it. It's not just read in a monotone voice where you really don't really get into it. No, it's actually made really, it's good. The guy really gets real animated about it. He uses different voices, a lot of sound effects. It's really, really good. So you guys need to go check it out. But anyway, I just had to put that in there because I come across it the other day and download it and fall in love with it. Tremendously great book. It's called Crescent. You guys should go check it out. And basically there'll be a link to it, and there'll be a link to Patio Books as well. And along with the Patio Books link, you'll also find a picture for the book and a link to the book. So anyway, yeah, you guys should go check out this book. It's really, really good. All right, well, I guess, to be honest with you guys, I apologize for it taking so long for me to get this show out there, but it's just been a rough ride, bumpy road, whatever you want to call it. So hopefully from this point on, we'll be able to get the show out to you in a reasonable manner. So you guys take care, and, you know, again, if you got any info, you know, you want to suit to me, anything like that, you know, 13skulls@gmail.com. And the phone number is 206-338-2205. If you like the music in today's episode, it's courtesy of Iota Promonet, which is at iotaalliance.com. I'll put a link to it in the show notes. There'll be links there if you want to download the songs. There'll also be links there if you want to buy more of the music. If you like the music, please support it. I love independent music, and I think you should support it as well. Also, if you want to let me know where you're at, please sign the Frapper Map. I'd love to know where everybody's at. But anyway, you guys, take care. I'm going to go ahead and wrap this show up. Take care. Have a great week, day, weekend, whatever it is that you're listening to the show. And again, as usual, I'll talk to you again on another day.